Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call in Buddhism Butterflies. We're working with transforming worry into its healthy role, which is that of clarity, which sometimes surprises people that worry can be used to actually clarify things. Because in our world, we often have this relationship to worry where we think it's about having to be anxious. And in its healthiest role, it's actually meant to give mental energy to help the thoughts settle and help the mind to be at ease. Okay? That can be challenging. Our minds can have a challenging time to rest if there's anything physiological afoot or any other triggers, of course. But I'm thinking on a Chinese medicine level, if we don't have, for instance, like sufficient blood because we aren't digesting our food well enough, then it's really challenging for the mind to rest. So, my goodness, excuse me. Might be a few more of those this morning. As we get into our time together today, I want to just first start off with mentioning that next week is off. So next week we have a week off. Happy Halloween. That'll, I think, be my last chance to say that to you before Halloween. So, and then after that, we're back to our regular schedules of 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Mountain Time. Know that somewhere in that mix, I believe before we meet again, there's also daylight savings time. So please double check your time and your schedule and your time zone. And just make sure that that's all aligning. Different parts of the world change time at different times of the year. So just know that that's also a factor to consider. So it's only in North America that I believe we'll have daylight savings time. In about a week and a half or so before we meet again, shortly after Halloween. Okay. Okay, my loves. Oh, yeah, I'm feeling grateful for this space too. Thank you for that all. Okay. All right, loves. So for today, as always, I'm going to invite us to begin by, well, first, actually, let's just take a moment to settle on in. Finding your way to a seated position, perhaps laying down, getting comfy, cozy, making any wiggle woggles, adjustments. And beginning here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to drink an inspiration. And to expand into what it is to be alive. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go. To make space, excuse me, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, it's even neutral, taking time to savor it and to be with it. And then I'm going to invite you to do that on purpose, either internally, if your eyes are open or closed, that's fine, or externally. I'm going to invite you to scan your environment and locate anything in particular in that environment that is pleasant to neutral for you. And whatever that thing is that you've landed upon, noticing all the elements of it that you really appreciate. Whether it's like what it reminds you of, the shape, the size, the color, the way the light and the shadow play with it, or anything else And as you drink that in, noticing what happens inside of you as you stay with this and keep your awareness, your attention here. You might even imagine that you can breathe in whatever the energy is that you're connected to right now. Beginning to notice how the body responds. And whatever the body's response is, see if you can locate in particular the parts that are again pleasant and neutral and savor those too. And as you stay with the savoring of all of that, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today with my friends. And thank you for the opportunity to meet in ways that support not just them, but their families, their ancestors, and their lineages. Thank you to all of our compassionate helpers, both seen and unseen, who have gathered here with us today. And the deepest of thank yous and reverence to those that have caretaken and stewarded the very lands that we rest upon, that have nourished us all, and that continue to offer nourishment to those yet to even arrive. And thank you. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace. Peace. Blessings in your session today. Okay. Interestingly enough, we're starting off with the 12th house, which is associated with the liver, and the liver meridian. And it's almost like the liver is, my image of this is like the liver protecting the spleen and all that it's worrying about. So as we go to the 12th house and to the liver, the 12th house also helps us to, interestingly enough, release, let go, and land into the true essence of our essential self, our essential nature of who it is we really are. So think of this as helping to actually supportively allow any old residual, habitual, protective, like patterns that have been potentially well digested already, or there might be some that are like just on that last edge of digestion that we're going to support by means of running circulation of all the healing resources through to the liver, and then running a cellular repair here, restoring the cells back to their fullest potential of health on all levels of functionality, from the physical to the mental to the emotional, honoring all that the liver does for us. The circulation will include that blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, help our nervous system, our immune system, and for that matter, most of our body minds to heal. And also bringing in circulation of the balance of yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and yang, the masculine essence of protection. And then working with hydration, bringing in water and helping the cells take up that joy that goes with it and release any impurities that are no longer serving. As begins to shed the initial layers of protection, it's like this has to happen at the exact same time. In parallel, we're supporting what I'm going to refer to as what was being protected by that liver. And we're going to the spleen. And if you could imagine like the most anxious you've ever seen a toddler, a 2-year-old in particular, There's essentially like a really dysregulated child, an inner little one, that is desperate to be received. So we invite you to imagine that you can actually just crouch down beside that little 2-year-old self who happens to be just really prevalently making their needs known through the spleen, creating worry, anxiety, even to the point of overwhelm. And there's actually some rage in here too. And that little one, as you kneel down beside them, they might actually be having like a full-on temper tantrum, and that's welcome here. So I invite you just to be with however they seem to be in this moment. Or they might seem like they're actually on the other side of things in a different manner of speaking. They're on the almost like the inverse of a temper tantrum. They're actually really collapsed, shut down. They're, excuse me, holding themselves in, curled up, like fetal position, curled up. And so and those actually might somehow all be happening at the exact same time. You might actually have both interplaying, because emotions can be complex to little ones. They can be complex to adults, let's be real. And those really big emotions that little ones don't know how to deal with are often aren't met by, the environment, by the humans that are around them in ways that are understandable. Because the adult is often not understanding this little one, and the little one is often not understanding why the adult would be doing what they're doing or feeling how they're feeling or rushing past these things. Because what could be more important than this right now? So I invite you to go really slow here and be with this little one. And let them show you what's been happening. Tending to this little one with care in a way that you may never have before. And getting really curious, because it's often easier to do it out there with, so-called real kids that are in a succinct body and form than it is our inner landscape of our inner kids. It's the exact same way that you might nurture another, offering this to your little one right now. And at the same time as all that, we're going to work with the energy of the sixth house, which is in being in practical service to our health and bringing in discernment, awareness, and intellect to support that. It's also the house where we begin to be able to absorb nourishment. And it's as if this little one has forgotten how to actually drink in the nourishment of care, of love, of tenderness. And because of that, they might even be a little hesitant to open up to the adult that's sitting here with them in this moment. So we're just going to go really slow and honor their own pace. And as we bring in this awareness around the small intestine, absorption of nourishment, all things sixth house to optimize the optimal health in your bodies, we're also bringing in the planetary energy of the sixth house, which is that of Mercury. It's almost as if this 2-year-old felt like it was a dangerous thing to even recognize or to become aware of, at a mental curious level, the nourishment that's here, never mind being able to actually curiously turn towards it and consider drinking it in. It actually has a fear of like getting its hand slapped and getting its head bitten off alike, to the point where it's actually made it hard to trust anything that gets offered its way out of that fearful response. If I could sum that up simply, it's a fear of being attacked by, in particular, those that are meant to be caring for it. Remember, the same time as that, running a cellular repair on particularly their nervous system. I'm going to geek out for a second. On the parasympathetic level, heading into the vagus nerve and going into specifically the dorsal branch. I haven't talked about this for a while. The ventral branch, the vagus parasympathetic nerve, there has two impacts of, well, that didn't come up very clearly. Has two, there's like two tracks, two pathways. One, the ventral vagal is about being social, and it's about being curious, calm, collected, and our essential nature. However, the dorsal looks like we're particular. Oh my gosh, it looks like we might be at rest. However, we're actually in the mode of shutdown, freeze, collapse, numbing out, isolation. So as we work with this particular branch, the dorsal that is, working with the buildup, the times in which this little two-year-old felt like they had to shut down, not open up, and not make its needs known, and not feel, as a result of that, very understood, heard, or seen. And so the conclusion from that was, there's something wrong with me. Even though it was the one that chose to shut down in the face, where it seemed like there was actually no other choice of danger in its environment, because it was either that or disrupt the connection to the caregivers that were primarily in charge of its survival. And all of this to say, there was a distinct loss of dignity. So here we're working with the consciousness of restoration of dignity, in particular while being in connection to others and helping this little one to begin to turn the tide, and also being able to reorient to love, to loving kindness in a way that it can actually open up to receive it. We're going to run a Sidri on this. It's going to continue for the next 7 days until we're not going to see each other again for 2 weeks. That'll give you lots of time to integrate that. And the Sidri starts with C, circulation of all the healing resources. And it's the exact same ones that I mentioned earlier, the blood, the nerve, the lymph, the chi, the consciousness, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, the sounds, colors, frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, endocannabinoids, the balance of yin and yang, and hydration. However, we're also going to bring in the planetary energy of Venus, and we're reestablishing harmony, order, and we're offering affection, which might seem like a really strong thing for that two-year-old, so it's actually going to take it in its own pace when it's ready. It's just going to be freely circulating, so it can turn towards it and have a little sip from that. I almost envisioned it as like a little waterfall of love. And it can actually just have like a little drink from it whenever it's open to it. And it can drink in as much as it wants to when it's ready. We're not necessarily asking that it drink in the whole waterfall all at once. Then we're going to run D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean. Taking out the clutter that no longer needs to be here, what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization. Getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may seem like there was none before. Then, integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. Okay, as that runs, we're also working with unwinding a fair amount of connective tissue and adhesions around the right side of the amygdala. Again, this is for that two-year-old. And as we work with your two-year-old's feminine essence on that right side of the brain, that's our feminine side of the brain, And we unwind the amygdala. We're also unwinding what the amygdala does, which is it decides whether it's going to respond or overreact to any stimulation. And it'll respond if it's overreacting with fear, anger, or rage. So it decides which of those responses it's going to utilize. And it's got a fairly well-developed arsenal in here already at 2. So as we unwind that connective tissue, we're also going to run a cellular repair and bring in the planetary energies of the Sun, Mercury, and Venus. The Sun bringing in the fullest expression of our life force potential possible as we restore these cells back to their fullest potential of health. Mercury optimizing healthy communication here, and Venus restoring again that sense of harmony and order and bringing in a sense of affection, maternal love. And here we're simply running the permissions. It's safe to love yourself now. Okay, got it. This little one was actually on a subconscious level, utilizing self-hatred as a form of protection. It's like, if I just hate myself enough, then that'll be the motivation that I need to continuously improve, change, alter myself, work on myself. In our adult lives, that can show up as this like workshop junkie or chronic need to always be in like fix it mode that doesn't necessarily come from a place of curiosity, but it comes from a place of feeling like you have to do this. Like there's a sense of almost shame or urgency that's driving it. So just supporting the system and being able to make changes and learn from now a place of curiosity about itself versus having to do it through this pattern of being driven through shame to improve itself, or that need to continuously be in self-improvement mode in order to be accepted by the others in its environment. As we release that, I see 3 different colors. Yellow, it's like brilliant sunshine yellow, but it's a darker tone of yellow. Oh, not quite mustard, a little bit lighter than that. Then there's a really royal blue and a really royal purple. And I just see those 3 colors swirling around your 2-year-olds, imbuing them with all the healing properties that those colors carry. And you might have your own sense and meaning of these, and please don't let what I'm about to say superimpose upon that. My sense of the yellow is it's bringing in a sense of being able to be stimulated appropriately, a sense of being able to be like mentally, cognitively, fully alive and on board and stimulated and responding to stimulus in the environment appropriately. It also brings in a sense of warmth to the nervous system through that cognition. The blue is optimizing healthy communication in a way that actually begins to be like, yeah, this is actually just how it's always been. It's like natural. Communication is healthy and natural. It's almost like that's a mini permissions happening through the color of blue. Communication is healthy and natural. That royal purple that accompanied that royal blue I think we touched it on this last week to a degree. Forgive me if I'm misremembering that. But we're working with literally the consciousness of royalty. And we're actually strengthening the neck muscles as if they were holding up a crown on the head. And what that's doing is actually offering appropriate tone to the muscles, appropriate vagal tone, and restoring that. On supporting the system and moving out of any little collapses that happen through here. And this is actually working with the earth elements, meridians of stomach and spleen as we strengthen the neck muscles. We're actually going to work with the ones in the front as well. As we support the neck muscles in this all, know that the earth elements works with the stomach and the spleen meridians, as I mentioned, but also those are the meridians that process worry and help transform our thinking patterns from confusion into clarity. And as it strengthens through the neck muscles, I actually see both the stomach and the spleen meridians, almost like they were holding on to like a staticky energy through them that was almost like a film occluding their energy lines. That dissipates, and any static that was in there begins to return to the earth. And as it returns to the earth, as the earth does, she alchemically transmutes all that was being carried through here. And it's actually allowing the stomach and the spleen to be essentially reborn. So those meridians, as they become in the recipients of the new energies that are on the other side of all that they've offered, all that they've released to the earth, begin to actually get to receive rejuvenation, restoration, and regeneration alike through the quality of what the earth offers, her sweetness, her presence, her grounding energy, has a specific rhythm, pulse, energetic vibration that I know that we've all felt at some point and tapped into. It's that feeling of how you feel when you hit the woods and you hit the woods and you hike in nature and you have that like, relaxation that begins to somehow sing you alive again. And as we invite in vitality back through the stomach and the spleen meridians, revitalizing all that they nourish, including your muscles, including your blood. As we optimize and bring in regeneration through muscles and blood, it actually takes the burden off of the liver meridian, which also has a strong impact in both of those arenas. And the liver is freed up to actually do all of its other jobs. And I'm specifically seeing it have more space and capacity to regulate hormones. That might be a personal thing for me because, you know, perimenopause being what it is. Or it might actually be supportive to many of you others. You might have a different sense of the liver and what it's opening up to do as well. So feel free to not let my words narrow or collapse any possibilities, but rather open up to whatever is here for you in this moment. Okay, it's all looking through now to the 12th house, which is again that house of that liver meridian, and specifically we're working with now the process of returning to yourself. Fancy word, individuation. As you return to yourself, it actually involves freeing yourself. Excuse me. From those old, I'm going to say, bondages that were holding that misery, that suffering in place for all that two-year-old energy that was being stored in the system. As well as, there is a four-year-old. And the four-year-old was actually the protector of the two-year-old. So I'm now seeing the four-year-old being restored, as that liver was also that source of protection. To their truest essence of self. Got it. As we restore the four-year-old is actually very concerned, busy, occupied, and not necessarily in a bad way, but just like in a deeply focused way, contemplating the things that they're meant to be learning at this time, which is that of love and sexuality is in the mix here too. Just the beginnings of figuring out, like, hey, I have a body that can provide pleasure, and I've got genitals. It's often when, you know, fart jokes become really funny. That might have happened a little bit earlier too. This era actually starts at 3 and goes through 6. And I know fart jokes are like funny for life. But this is often where this begins to be known. At no point did I think I would be getting up and talking about farting today, but here we have it. I love it. So good. And forgive my sense of humor. The 4-year-old is digging it though. And that 4-year-old, as we welcome it to actually come alive in its fullest expression, it's having a challenge with its same-sex parents. So for the females, which is predominantly what this group is, energy is held with, that will be to the mother. For anyone who identifies as masculine, as a male, and then that would be to the father. As we work it out, I'm going to use probably the word mother a little bit more right now. But know that same dynamic is playing out in its own way between your own masculine energy and your father energy. But working with the same sex parents here, that's usually where the biggest clashes are. You might have noticed this in the own raising of your children or your own family dynamics. And it's often because it's as if all of our undigested material gets passed down to our kids around what it is to be in this particular form of gender. And that is worked out. And it's not always done in a way that feels very like easeful or peaceful. So as we work with it, it's actually important to listen to the conflict that's here, because it's actually your opportunity to, as the expression go, kids raise adults, to enter a different level of maturity within your own system and with what we're carrying here. Okay. It's interesting that I chose those words, because this 4-year-old is actually pretty used to being almost like an adult. The fancy word, which I'm going to borrow from, I believe it's Dr. Gabor Mate that I heard this from first. He's a trauma therapist who created compassion inquiry, which I've studied to a degree. And the energies of being a parentified child, that's his term, are strong, meaning this little one had to grow up way before their time. And they carried a fair amount of adult ideas, responsibilities, thought patterns, which cost them their capacity for play. Because they were so busy on creating different ideas of how to work harder, better, more efficiently, how to take care of the adults in the room, that they forgot how to be a child and how to just simply play more. So we're just simply running those words as a permission statement. Play more. And I invite you to notice what happens in your body. I'm going to say it a few times. Just notice what's happening. Whatever's showing up, I'm going to invite you to simply welcome it to be here. Play more. Play more. Play more. And as you invite your little one to play more, granting them permission to do so, they may take a beat to really just check out, like, hey, is that actually safe to do now? Or they may already be off playing. If they're already playing, feel free to invite them to play in all the different ways that they never had a chance to before, that they've always wanted to do. If I could sum up what we're doing here in entirety, we're essentially welcome any repressed play. but then can come out as a form of sometimes like resentment or like, how dare you be silly or stop being so stupid or get your head on straight or any of those types of thought patterns or energies as we relate to others in our environment. Whether they are our partners, our loved ones, and our family, in terms of those various different dynamics and all the ways that you relate to people, it might show up really in any of them. And here, wherever and however it's showing up along all those relations, think of this as the beginning of healing relationality. Healing relationality at the level of consciousness. And then we're running the permissions that it's actually safe to relate through play. As we do that, releasing the habitual seriousness. And lifting that off of the original image I had of that liver meridian, the chest plate, which it protects. And also lifting it off of the genitals. And I see this as restoring the connections of both lightheartedness as well as pleasure. Lighthearted pleasure. And any tendencies towards being in the flow of the habit of seriousness. We're actually going to run another Sidri, exact same steps as I outlined previously. It's going to run actually for the full 2 weeks until we see each other again. Okay, that's all linking now through to the jaws and the throat. And it's supporting expressions, so finding literally lighthearted, pleasurable expressions. Or finding lightheartedness and pleasure in expression. Or you get the idea, all the configurations here around lightheartedness, pleasure, and expression in all their ways that they interface. Okay, I'm just giving the four-year-old a second to digest it all and to take that all in, and I'm watching their responses. And it's like little by little, layer by layer, it begins to land for them. And they begin, as I see it, to open up their eyes, which are ruled by that liver meridian, to wonder, to awe. And that actually begins to supportively allow for those neck muscles to continue to lift, to lighten, and to be able to hold their own tone with ease in a way that's in alignment with restoration of dignity while being in a place of relationality through lighthearted, playful, pleasurable expressions. All of that culminates in the feeling of actually being received. Which heightens the probability of feeling understood. Being received and potentially laying that groundwork for being understood. As well as opening up to the possibility of being liked. Loved, held in the gaze of others in ways that are tender and caring. And I see like this little inner smile bubble up from the heart chakra, up through to the throat, up through to the brow, and out through to the crown, connecting to source, to spirit, and finding a sense of oneness and connections through all those areas which may have seemed painful before, but that now get to be different. We're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. I invite you to give that no less than 10 full deep breaths and to integrate that. While you do that, there's a little whiny dog noise behind me. I'm just going to open up the door to let her out. I'll be right back. Roxy sends her apologies and her support through that integration. Seeing your doghood is what it is, some moments of life. So as we offer those breaths of integration, it's as if we began to offer your little ones what it is to have breathing room, what it is to have space, what it is for them to actually be welcome to take up that space. And as we work with granting them that understanding, that awareness that they're welcome here, they get to actually remember what it is to be full, to be whole, to be healthy. And we're linking that all the way through, interestingly enough, to the right brain, the side of intuition. Also the side, which I think of as very like ninth housey, of growth and expansion through things that are thinking in ways that are not necessarily like factual or linear, but are out of the box. So things like philosophy, spirituality, potentially psychology, religion, anything that fits in that general metaphysical realm would be here. Okay. And we're actually relating now the concept of supportively allowing the thinking, the thought processes, the contemplations, the cognitions, anything in between, all of that energy as being a form of grounding. And we're linking that through to the stomach and the spleen meridian to open up the possibility that it's actually safe to ground, or that it's not necessarily safe, that it actually is a possibility to ground through thought processes, through contemplations. And it becomes almost like a meditative quality that becomes innately wired in through the system. or rather a return to what's already been innately wired in your system. Okay. At the same time as all of that, we're bringing in the planetary energy of the moon, and we're linking her energy through to the spleen, and it's heavily linked to that one, all through the fourth house, which helps us to basically reevaluate the ways that we've been interfacing with our environment, and the ways that we've been doing that through potentially defensive layers, or how we've kept ourselves safe, versus utilizing healthy boundaries. So as we bring in the moon to the spleen, Rashi's supporting not just knowing what healthy boundaries are, but the capacity to implement them in a way that's innately natural or second nature, without having to, you know, overly intellectualize or plan, or it just becomes like effortless in their expression, just ripples through you. And that's linking into the bladder meridian, in particular the part that runs through the backbone, just another side of the spine. Okay, it's actually releasing the times in which you felt pissed off because there wasn't actually healthy boundaries in place. Because when the boundaries come in, there's actually the capacity to release that old stagnant energy and feeling quite unhappy or pissed off, dissatisfied. To the point where that might incidentally emanate as an attitude to another of you're not good enough. So people might feel like chronically looked down upon or condescended to through that energy if it's showing up. Or there might be a fear of, on the other side of that, a fear of quote unquote putting somebody in their place appropriately and asking or behaving in a way that invites in respect, which might at times include strong expressions or gentle expressions or any combination of expressions to supportively allow for that to be in play for you, to receive respect. And loosening up any overt edginess to enforce that. Because boundaries don't actually carry any edginess. They can be firm, but they don't come from a place of being internally triggered, is what I'm attempting to express. Okay, we're tapping out this part here. Invitation to breathe and to receive here. And again, giving that no less than 3, 4, 5 slow, deep breaths, letting this all integrate. The theme that I'm getting through this session seems to be that of spaciousness. Okay, my love. An emotional release of sadness and grief alike for what was missed out on from the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old not necessarily having had their say or their expressions being met the way that they got to be met today, and any compromises that that may have led to. Okay. As you work with that sadness and that grief, and the center of it is like, I didn't cause this and this wasn't my fault, so this doesn't feel fair that this is happening. It's its own. Not quite temper tantrum, but a slower version of one. And here we're going into the ripple effect that was caused through the family lines 7 generations ago, both sides, mom and dad, on those emotional frequencies. Of everything that we've been working here with today. And we're looking at where this began. And then we're working with being able to also celebrate the fact that it got its expression after 7 generations of agony, after 7 generations of suffering. It finally, that cycle that was passed on through all those generations, gets to be met and gets to end through you. Cycle breaking, which doesn't take away from the fact that it was hard and there was sadness and there was grief. And there is sadness and there is grief. This is simply pointing to being able to celebrate that you get to do what all 7 generations before you have been attempting to do. You did it. You did it. And there's sadness and there's grief. And that's an energy that can only really be held by the adult self. Because that's a fairly complex thing for a little one to hold. This is also the sign to me that there's enough essential nature, there's enough adult self here to supportively integrate all that's transpired here today. And we invite you as the adult self. Who knows that, yes, this was worth it, I did it. To also connect with their sadness and their grief and offer almost like a ritual to what could have been, almost like a funeral to what didn't happen, honoring it as a death of sorts. And maybe that's a traditional ritual of offering flowers. Almost as if we could imagine that we're standing around a gravesite and offering flowers. Maybe this ritual involves song, prayer, dance, expressions of some sort. And the thing is only your system will know. So I'm going to invite you to imagine what's best for it here and now. And walk yourself through a ritual grieving process. A ritual process which helps us to honor what's transpired and honor what's been lost for 7 generations as well as this lifetime. And as you make contact with this grief, with this sadness, knowing that we're doing it in connection, in community, as a group, begins to help to potentially offer a lightening of that load, knowing that you're doing it as a group, as a community, in the ways that were traditionally done in tribes, in ways that can't happen one-to-one or isolated in our own separate little homes, but in ways that get to happen when we gather, whether that's virtually or in person. And we're tapping this part out here, invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. And as you honor all that's here with gentleness, with tenderness, with softness, you begin to offer your entire system a different way of being within your emotions, a different way of being inside of yourself. And it begins to receive corrective experiences that it never got to have back then as a little one, that it gets to have now. And at any time, whenever you feel drawn to it, if you feel drawn to it, you're welcome to touch back on that resource that you found at the beginning of the session. We're going to play a short song to honor all that's transpired for you and your little ones. It's called Butterflies by Tom Odell, but it's featuring Aurora. I'll put it in the chat feature. I invite you to hold yourself softly, tenderly, gently here. Love that song. I think it's gonna be okay. He has a beautiful album, and that's sort of like one of the nearing the end as he makes his way through an emotional journey. So feel free to check out the song as much or little as you like, and anything connected to it if that draws to you. might be supportive to allow that integration to occur for those of you that this touched deeply. And I had a question come in around, can this now be made available to our children through our consciousness? And that is indeed the way that I see this work working, and tend to have held that for years, that it actually goes in all directions, radiating backwards, forwards, through all the timelines. So I hold that prayer in my heart, and that it may be known in their lifetime. So the work is done, and they get to turn to it when they're ready, in their own timing. Okay, my loves, I'm going to sign off for now and wish you a most beautiful rest of your 2 weeks ahead. Again, a happy Halloween, and we'll see you in November on the other side of Daylight Savings Time. Mwah. Have yourself a beautiful rest of your day. Bye for now, y'all.